Beanie and Hooley Show.
The Stone, the Stone, the Stone, the Stone Barn.
How's it going there, everybody from Cork, New York, Dundalk, Gortahawk and Glenamaddy? Here we are in the County Clare.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Welcome once again to the Skinny and Hooley Show. I'm your old friend, Mike Houlihan. And with me, as always, my old buddy, my pal, my friend, Mr. James Skinny Sheehan. Skin, what do you say?
Hooley, great to be back here at Lizzie McNeil's.
Yes, it is.
Unfortunately, it seems like the fall is just flying away.
It's nipping. It's nipping at our noses.
It's a bit nippy out there, yeah. It's really tough.
Hey, you're listening to the Skinny and Hooley Show. We're brought to you by Flood Brothers Disposal, our old pal Bob Flood. We're coming at you out of Cicero, Illinois, WCEV. We're Chicago's ethnic voice, 1450 on your AM dial. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're streaming online at WCEV1450.com. If you ever miss a show, folks, you can always catch the podcast, usually up by Monday, at SkinnyHooley.com. Yes. Skinny, I got a story for you.
Oh, you mentioned that, Hooley.
Okay, so I'm on the internet the other day just monkeying around, and a thing comes up and goes, win free tickets to meet Mr. Wonderful, Kevin O'Leary. You know who that guy is?
Yeah.
On Shark Tank?
Yeah.
I said, hey, that might be a few laughs, you know. And then it says, free tickets. I went, well, I'm down with that.
The magic word.
Yeah, my magic word, free. So I said, yeah, okay, and I click the thing, and the next thing I know, I'm signed up, and they're sending me texts, like, every hour. Don't forget, it's tomorrow. It's Monday morning, 10 a.m. I went, yeah, okay, I got it. You got to get there early and blah, 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 10 a.m. Monday morning. So I'm getting excited about it. I'm thinking, you know, this guy's Irish. Maybe I could talk him into donating some money to Hibernian Transmedia or something like that, you know. So,
of course.
You never know, right? And he has an Irish passport and everything. So I get in the car and I go down there and I think,
where was it, downtown Chicago?
It was at the Rosemont Theater.
Oh, okay.
And, boy, they got it covered. I get down there, and it's like, oh, yeah, you got to park. That's $25 to park. I went, oh, okay, the Stevens family just made a lot of money. And they're telling me there's 7,000 people here, blah, blah, blah. You better get in there early and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, okay. And I get in, and there's a guy on stage talking about real estate, you know, and he's going, how many people here want to be filthy rich? And the crowd's going, ah, it was like gladiators or something. I went, what the heck is this? And then he introduces these two dweebs, Skip and Andy from the Flip a House on the HGTV network. And I'm like, what the heck is this? And they go on for about a half an hour talking about flipping real estate. And I'm like, well, where's our O'Leary? You know, I'm upset. Thinking, now this is a come on. I'm looking at all the characters in the audience, and they're all like, ah, I want to be rich. I want to be rich. It's like, calm down. It's not as simple as that. It couldn't be. So finally, I go out and I get on the phone. I make a fuck up phone calls, and I come back. And now they got another guy. Hey, Drew Gray, the real estate investor guy. And he starts talking, and I just go, where's O'Leary? Screaming out. And he goes, ah, he'll be here. He'll be here. I could see him, like, he broke out into a sweat.
How many people were there?
Thousands, or they said. But all of a sudden, his act went from 0 to 100. He was like, I got to get this guy O'Leary. I'm like, where the hell is he? I thought I could start a riot right here tonight. And then he went on and on and on. And I finally left. I said, this is ridiculous. And I said to the one guy at the stage, and I said, what time does O'Leary go on? He goes, when he gets here. Oh. So it's a scam. He's like, he's the bait, you know, and everybody else.
It's the bait and switch.
Yeah, and then he just shows up, you know, like 10 minutes before it's over and goes, hi, everybody, and picks up his check. But I thought you'd be amused because the characters was like, my God. So anyway, you know what
I
mean?
I was amused. I could see you standing up and yelling out.
I was mad. And I thought, if I wanted to, I could really turn this crowd into a rabble. Because they were already rabble, you know. They were like, ah, we want to be rich. It's like, where's O'Leary? Where's Mr. Wonderful? Anyway, a few laughs. Anyway, well, Skinny, now the election is over. Now the real election begins.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
It's going to be
There's not
crazy.
Enough people running, though.
We no, need not some enough. We need another 30 people.
Yeah. Right. It's real interesting watching this stuff. That's all I got to say. Real interesting.
We have a great guest tonight, and we met him last summer right out here. We had, and he was doing a raffle here, and he raffled off tickets to the rugby match, and Billy Wooten, our producer, won the tickets. So today we're very happy to have Jimmy Callahan with us. Let me tell you a little bit about Jimmy. Jimmy was a Guinness Legacy and Believer Ambassador from 2005 to 2007. He's entitled to represent this fine brand once again, originally from the Chicago area, Elmhurst, I think, right, Jimmy?
That's correct.
He has a passion for Guinness and the entire beer industry.
There's a lot of people that have that.
Yeah, exactly. Many of them are here tonight. He's lived both in Los Angeles and New York City, and these experiences, along with extensive travel, have given him the opportunity to sample regional beers not available nationwide. Have you had Pliny the Younger? I haven't. While studying at the University of Mizzou, right?
That's right.
Jimmy was introduced to craft beer from Kansas City, Boulevard, and St. Louis, Shafley. I thought that Phyllis Shafley invented that beer, but I guess not. And hasn't thought about beer the same way since. An occasional home brewer, Jimmy enjoys all beer styles from lagers to barley wines and loves to experiment with food and pairings with his wife, who happens to be a chef. Jimmy lives, has also worked as an actor for the past 13 years, did a lot of commercials. Yeah.
Yes.
Been very lucky.
That's where the dough is, Jimmy. Yeah. Yeah. He lives with his wife and two kids in the suburbs of Chicago. Welcome. Jimmy, welcome to the Skinny and Hooli
Jimmy,
Show.
Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me, guys. It's a pleasure.
It's
an honor.
Now, when you do a commercial, do you get residuals every time it runs?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so, well, it depends on the type of commercial. If it's a
Did you ever hear my horror story?
Yeah, but let him finish the answer. I'm just interested.
So, if you're in SAG, if the Screen Actors Guild, if it's a union commercial, then the situation is a lot better because you're going to get the power of the union behind there, and then you get residuals. You get paid every time it airs. It usually goes in two-year contracts, and then you get paid for the cable usage, the network usage, if it's online, you know, and then if it's a non-union commercial, it's usually a buyout of X amount of dollars. So, I mean, I did a commercial in 2011 that I'm still getting paid for.
Really?
Good for you.
So, every
what
year.
What was it, or can you say?
Oh, yeah. So, this particular one was a campaign for, it was a PSA for the Shelter Pet Project. So I just did voiceovers for animals, and it was one day of work. And
that was like a legitimate, it was a PSA, but you still PSA, got but royalties.
Yeah, but I did a couple. I've been very lucky where I got some that outlived the contract. And so like one aired for like 7 years, one aired for
Holy
like
cow.
6 years. So I've been pretty lucky in that regard.
Yeah.
So,
that's great.
You know. But then there's the flip side of things where you get promised all this stuff. You know, you think like, oh, God, all my credit card debt's going to be paid off.
Yeah.
I'm going to be able to buy a house in like a month. And then I did a campaign for this car insurance company out in California. And the whole thing was supposed to be hidden camera
camera
stuff. And so
not actors, that kind of crap.
Yeah. So my background is in improv, and so I was hired to do that. And so it was great. We came up with a lot of awesome stuff. It was supposed to be this big campaign that aired for, you know, a couple years. It was going to be a lot of money for me. And then the first one we aired, you know, so keep in mind this is hidden camera stuff, so you don't know who you're picking up off the street. Apparently the guy who we ended up like interviewing ended up being a registered sex offender.
Oh, so, no.
That killed the entire campaign.
Oh, wow.
And I went from being, you know, on cloud nine
to... And you guys spent the whole day talking to the guy.
Well, it was like maybe 20 minutes, you know, but that was just like one spot that we were going to do, and it was like six spots that killed the whole thing. So I went from, you know, winning the lottery to, I'm sorry, one of the numbers is off.
Kind
of
sounds like a holy story about Dennis O'Leary.
Dennis O'Leary?
Yeah, it's kind of like the same thing.
Oh, you mean Kevin O'Leary? Yeah. I did a commercial for Burger King, they accused me of making fun of people with mental disabilities. So
that doesn't sound like you.
It was pulled off the air after 2 weeks, and it was like, oh, well. It was a hot commercial. It was going to make me a lot of money, and that was the end of that.
Yeah.
So don't get me started. Now, you're also a Second City guy. right?
That's correct, yeah. So I started off doing improv and stand-up at Mizzou. And then in the summers throughout college, I would come back and I took classes at Second City, Improv Olympic, Comedy Sports. And really loved my time there. I wasn't gunning for main stage or anything. But met a lot of great people, had a lot of fun, and got to do a few shows. I actually wrote a show called Brain Humor, which autobiographical. I had brain surgery when I was 22 years old, and wrote a show about going through that experience. So we had three.
Was it a one man show kind of a thing?
It was like a hybrid one man show. I had three friends who I wrote into it, addressed the audience and broke down the fourth wall, and then I would kind of drift back in. I would do scenes with those three people, and then go on do a monologue. So it was kind of like a hybrid show.
Yeah.
Did you guys see God Show, Tim O'Malley?
I know Tim. Sure. Yeah.
So I kind of borrowed his concept, which was that thing about engaging the audience, doing a monologue, and then doing a scene.
Yeah.
But so we had three sold out runs in Dining Skybox in Second City. So it was a lot of fun. But,
that's great.
And then I kind of fell into doing commercial work. One of my Second City classmates introduced me to her agent.
Who was the agent?
Shirley Hamilton.
Oh, sure.
I've been for whatever reason, was very lucky and got some auditions. So I spent a couple years in Chicago and then went out to L.A. for four. And then my wife and I moved to New York for her to go to culinary school. And I just picked it up there. And when we had our son, we moved back to be closer to family. And so we've been back since 2014, almost 2015, so a few years.
But you actually now have the greatest job in the world.
So background is in acting, and then I kind of fell into this as it's the first time in my life I've had a full-time job. as my brothers and family and my wife say, only you could have asked backed your way into... to this one. So I'm the Guinness Brewery Ambassador for the Midwest. There's nine of us in the United States, and we get to go around talking to people and educating people about all things Guinness and all things beer. So
did they send you to school and stuff, or what did you do?
That's a good question.
Or did they say, you look like a guy who's drunk a lot of beer?
So when we first hired, sent a lot of materials, a lot of books to brush up on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we got to... in short order, go to Ireland. There's three of us hired initially, and so it was October 1st, 2015, and then within 2 weeks we were in Ireland for 2 weeks, and so we got to brew with the brewers there. We got to go into the archives and study with
this was Evelyn. Just 2000, because I thought you would have done it before
2007.
So 2007 to 5 I did do some talks for Guinness. It was a different program. One of my friends, I was in that Play Flanagan's Wake.
They were sponsors of our show for a while.
There you go. Yeah. So I did that. I did that show for 4 years.
Holy cow.
It was my first.
Here in Chicago.
Yep. Yeah. Here in down at when Noble Fool had the theater at Randolph, and then out in Pheasant Run.
Yeah.
So I did it for 4 years, and one of my friends, John Golick, was doing these promotional talks for Guinness, and he's like, "Oh yeah, they need an extra guy. If you want to, I can refer you." So I got hired for that. So it was a seasonal thing where I just did it around St. Paddy's Day in the fall for a couple of years. And then flash forward to L.A., New York, back to Chicago. And I ended up just by happenstance running into this woman who is one of the Guinness sales specialists in Chicago. And we were chit-chatting back and forth. And she's like, "You should apply for this new job that we got coming up. You'd be perfect for it." So 4 interviews later, I'm the Guinness Brewery Ambassador for the Midwest. It kind of fell out of the sky. So
a dream job.
Yeah. So
you got to work hard, though, at it.
Well,
I see you had to carry this six-pack in tonight.
Right.
I did. So there's, I guess, part of my acting background and stuff. I'm pretty good at absorbing information. So I've been able to... per your question about like the studying and training and all that stuff, I'm pretty good at picking up on information and memorizing facts and telling stories and stuff. And obviously, I'm very handsome and funny at the same time, so that doesn't hurt.
We forgot to mention that.
Right, exactly. Yeah, this is radio, right? So we got to go to Dublin. Guinness actually has the largest privately owned, publicly open archival in all of Ireland.
We've been to the brewery several times.
So you can actually make an appointment and go in and look at some of the materials that that Guinness has. So we got.
We
to
made
go
an appointment for the Skyline Bar, or whatever. It's
for the Gravity Bar. Exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh. So and then a lot of it's learn the fly sort of stuff. So and then I had to become what's called Cicerone certified.
What is that?
You know what
Cicerone?
Cicerone. So you know what a beer sommelier is? It's
like a wine guy only for beer.
Exactly. So Cicerone is a program actually based out of Chicago, just up in Ravenswood.
Oh, I thought it'd be in Cicero.
There's an exam. It's you got to study for. There's certified Cicerone, advanced, master, and more people have the New York bar has a higher passage rate. Than the Cicerone exam.
Yeah,
so I feel pretty proud that I was able to pass on the first try. So,
yeah.
So a lot of studying.
Do you get any letters? A lot of studying as he takes a big gulp of his Guinness. Do you get any letters after your name for something like that? Or
you can use just certified Cicerone after your name. So it's not like Esquire.
That's
or something.
That's pretty cool.
It is.
Yeah, So it's been a fun ride. So I've been doing this just came up on my 3rd year anniversary, and I still do some acting stuff on the side when I get some downtime. I get to go around and meet people. And are you
out there every day?
Where do you office out of?
Yeah, so I'm based out of Chicago. I don't have an office. It's just I control my schedule. I have 8 states I cover. Based in Chicago because it's our second largest market. Although we have more tap handles in Chicago than any other city in the United States. But as far as volume goes, New York is one, then Chicago is two.
In Guinness consumption?
Correct, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that. New York is number one, Chicago's. What about Boston?
Boston's small.
Number three.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But so I'm based in Chicago, and then I've got 8 states I cover. It's a week-to-week, day-to-day thing. Sometimes I'm on the road for a few days, and sometimes I'm at home and just doing paperwork, emails, that sort of stuff, and planning future events. So every day is different. I might be training at a distributor, one of our beer distributor partners. I might be training some of our sales staff, or I might be doing consumer events like beer dinners, beer festivals, that sort of stuff.
What are beer festivals? Oh, I know they are.
Beer festivals.
You
buy, you pay $50, you get a little sample cup, you go around, taste as many beers as you want. So it's a fun job. I feel pretty lucky to have landed in it. So,
Today I got a letter from, I do that Special Olympics stuff. I got a letter last week from the president of Breakthrough.
Breakthrough? Pat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And went out there today, so we're going to do some stuff with Diageo. Is that
correct? So Guinness and Diageo are one and the same.
Right.
Guinness has been family owned up until the 1970s when it became publicly traded, and then in 1997. 1997, Grand Metropolitan, which was a owner of different whiskeys and spirits. Grand Metropolitan and Guinness merged to form Diageo. Dia meaning day, Gia meaning world. So every day around the world, people enjoying our spirits and enjoying life. So Guinness is the one beer within Diageo.
Right.
But Diageo is the largest spirits company in the world. So you've got
largest what company?
Spirits company in the world.
Oh, spirits, yeah.
So you've got Johnny Walker, Captain Morgan, Smirnoff, Tanqueray, a bunch
Tito's.
Of different
Tito's.
They don't have Tito's, but they've got a bunch of different vodkas, and so Breakthrough is our distributor for the spirit side. But then we have different beer distributors all around Chicago and all around the U.S.
Well, I'll tell you, I never saw that place is gigantic.
It's
Breakthrough.
Nuts. It's nuts. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. It explains why they own the Blackhawks, right?
They
got enough money for it, right?
Right.
So. It's been a fun ride, and got some fun stuff coming up. Events in Wisconsin, events in Minnesota.
Do you go to a lot of Irish fests?
I have, yeah. So up in there's the Irish Fest in La Crosse, Lacrosse Irish Fest. There's between the Gale, or the Mad Gale Fest in Madison. I've been down in Missouri. The Missouri River Irish Fest. The White Whale is the Milwaukee Irish Fest because it's the largest Irish
fest. They ran out of Guinness this year.
Because they've never had it. so we're not allowed in because it's owned by Miller. Miller Park.
That's right.
So it's the largest Irish festival outside of Ireland.
But
We can't, so that's one of my colleagues, our distributor manager up there, Mitch C. Slack, that's his White Whale. That's his, he's like, one of these days, I'm going to get in there. And then they'll make $1 jillion selling Guinness. So, different Irish festivals. I work with the Irish American Heritage Center.
Oh, sure.
Different centers around. But
Gaelic Park.
But one thing we try to stress is that, while Guinness started in Ireland and, it was an Irish company, we brew different beer for different people all around the world, in 50 different countries around the world. And so it's not just, just for one people,
you do
just brewing for Irish people.
Yeah.
So, for example, the entire continent of Africa,
drink a lot of Guinness.
80% of all beer sold in Africa, and I'm not talking about just Guinness, but 80% of all beer sold in Africa is Guinness.
Okay.
Really?
So, yeah. And we've got breweries in Africa, Jamaica, South America, Asia, brewing different beer for different people all around the world. So Guinness means different things to different people. Most people consider in the United States a pint of Guinness, this nitrogenated stout, as this is what Guinness is.
Right. What did you just call it?
A pint of nitrogenated stout.
Ah.
So I'll get into that in a second. But this beer is actually one of the youngest beers in our whole portfolio. This has only been around since 1959.
The Guinness stout that we're drinking now?
Yes. Yeah. It's only been around since 1959. So we became a brewery since 1759 when Arthur Guinness started. And so this beer wasn't created until our bicentennial when we put this beer, Guinness Extra Stout, on draft. So prior to 1959 and the adventation of nitrogenation, which is where we inject nitrogen gas into the beer.
Oh, yeah, that's why when you buy one in a can, it has that thing.
It has the widget in there, right. Yeah. So that's our technology. That we invented that in 1959. A man by the name of Michael Ash was one of our master brewers and a mathematician, and he invented this concept over 8 years. It took him 8 years to figure it out. But the problem was we were trying to put our extra stout on draft. Prior to 1959, all Guinness beer was brewed, matured in oak vats, and then put into wooden casks.
Yeah.
The wooden casks were sent around Ireland, sent around the world. The local publican would either pull the beer straight from the wooden cask, like a cask engine, or they would bottle their own beer.
Ah.
So all Guinness prior to 1959, we never kegged the beer. It was all in wooden casks or bottles. So the popularity of the draft systems were becoming more prevalent in Ireland, and we tried to put our extra stout through regular draft system, but our yeast strain is too hardy, the beer is too lively and basically bubbly and foamy, and so it just wouldn't work through a draft system. And so the answer lie in nitrogenation and nitrogen, because the bubbles are more solid, more stable, and it allowed it to flow through the system. So this has only been around since 1959. Prior to that, you would have been drinking Guinness Extra Stout in Ireland and Guinness Foreign Extra Stout around the world.
Now, Skinny and I...
Is there a big difference in the taste?
Absolutely. You want to do it?
Sure.
You want to taste some beer?
Oh, yeah. Now, we go to Ireland a lot, and people, when I first came back from Ireland, said to me, doesn't the Guinness taste better there? And I went, no, actually, it tastes exactly the same. Like, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, well, so there's a lot of misconceptions with Guinness, and that's one of the biggest ones. It's probably half my job is explaining to people the difference or the perceived difference of Guinness in Ireland. And in actuality, it's all about quality control.
Tell me what this is, Jimmy.
Okay, so I'll get back to, Guinness is better in Ireland, quote unquote. So what I just poured the guys here are called Guinness Extra Stout. You can get this at any liquor store around Chicago. Guinness Extra Stout. So it's in a bottle. It has a tan label. And this is this beer goes back to 1821. Arthur Guinness's son would have laid down the recipe for it, our extra superior porter, extra stout porter, meaning a stronger porter. This is the beer that made Guinness what it is in Ireland.
It does have a bigger bite. Wow.
So this doesn't use nitrogen. This uses straight CO2. So nitrogen bubbles don't burst in your tongue. You just swallow them. So it gives you the illusion of creaminess, the illusion of velvetiness, of that thickness. Whereas CO2 bubbles, soda, pop, sparkling water, right. Other beer, they burst on your tongue. It gives you that fizziness. And with that, you're going to get a lot more bitterness. You're going to get a lot more of that roasty character of the beer. So this is the beer that made Guinness what it is in Ireland.
Oh, yeah.
So if you taste it, so take a sip of that one.
I just did.
And then take a sip of your Guinness draft, and you can see the difference. That's going to have more of a hop bite. Whereas Guinness Draft is more
creamier,
smoother. Yeah. Why? Because of those. There's over 30 million nitrogen bubbles in the head of a Guinness Draft.
Really?
That's good stuff.
Yep. Cool. I don't know who counted.
Was it that mathematician?
It was kind of funny. When I first started, and we were in Ireland, I saw there was on one wall it said, over 3 million bubbles in the head of a Guinness, And then somewhere else it said over 300 million bubbles in the head. I was like, well, okay, hold on. They're between 300, this. So I actually pressed our former master brewer, but a man by the name of Steve Kilcullen, brilliant guy, awesome guy, and he is now the head of our global quality control. And I was like, dude, which one is it? He actually... reached out to Dublin City College and to their chemistry department, and they actually measured the size of the nitrogen bubble and gave a proper estimation. So it's actually just over 30 million nitrogen bubbles in the head of a Guinness. So
now there are many nicknames for this. It's the blonde in the black skirt. Have you heard that one?
I have.
What other ones are there?
Mother's milk.
Milk. Of
so course. Do you know where that comes from?
No, that's so. Mothers used to drink a lot of Guinness when they were nursing. I remember that's what. No, that's for sure. That would used to be good.
Well,
for nursing mothers.
There's
right?
a little bit of that, but also so the because we roast our barley, we roast the barley just like you would roast coffee. So there's four main ingredients in beer. You got barley, water, yeast, hops, and barley is the grain where you get the sugar in order to create beer. You give the sugar to the yeast to create beer. Yeast eats sugar, and you get beer. But we roast a portion of our barley, and that's what gives it the color. That's what gives it coffee, toffee, chocolate flavor.
Yeah, black
and,
stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. And a lot of people will see a pint of Guinness and be afraid of it if they've never had it before. I like to use the analogy, beer's liquid bread. So if you take white bread and you heat it up, you get toast.
Yeah.
It's dark in color, has more flavor.
Uh-huh.
If you take barley and you roast it, you heat it up, you get dark beer. Yeah. Has more color, more flavor. No one's afraid of toast. Hopefully, you shouldn't be afraid of dark beer.
But and then you get toasted.
And then you get toasted. Responsibly. As long as you got a driver.
Responsibly.
So the because of the roasted barley, there's a slightly higher iron content in this beer.
Ah.
And so.
That's right.
I'm not lying to you. All the way up to the 1980s, if you gave blood in Ireland, you were given a pint of Guinness to replenish the iron content in your blood.
After you donated the blood. Yeah.
If you're a mother who gave birth in the hospital, you're given 2 pints of Guinness to, quote unquote, replenish the iron content in your blood.
And
all the way up to the 1980s.
It was supposed to be very good for nursing mothers, right?
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, it helped, basically, it's alcohol, so it helps thin the blood, so it helps thin the blood vessels and, lactation as well.
I didn't get into it till, I think it was when we...
Third grade.
No, I just drank regular beer. And I think because of doing this show, I got more involved and we were in Irish pubs all the time. Now it's my exclusive drink pretty much unless I'm drinking a whiskey or something.
Most people, if they don't understand that it is one of the lightest beers you could drink.
Yeah.
It's a sessionable beer. It's a beer that brings people together. It's only 4.2%. It only has 125 calories per 12 ounces. That's only about 17 more calories than most light beers. That's why it floats on top of other beers if you do a half and half or a
black and tan.
Or a black velvet, black velveteen, which is Guinness over cider. It floats over those other beers or those other drinks because it's less dense. So people get fooled by the texture, which is that creaminess.
Yes, exactly. I think it'd be the opposite.
And they get fooled by the color. They think it's dark. It's got to be heavy and high in alcohol content, but it's one of the lightest beers you can drink.
That is great.
We got to take a break. Can you stick around, Jimmy?
I can stick around because you got to taste these other beers before we go.
Beautiful.
All right, we'll be right back on the Skinny and Hooley Show after these messages from our friends.
Attention commercial business owners, industrial business owners, restaurateurs, apartment, condominium, and building maintenance managers. Flood Brothers Disposal and Recycling Service wants to earn your business. When was the last time you checked your garbage disposal rates? How about making a call or emailing for a free quote today at 773-626-5800 or online to floodbrothersdisposal.com. Flood Brothers is one of the last family-owned and operated solid waste recycling and yard waste firms serving metropolitan Chicagoland. Flood Brothers specializes in expert personalized service, extremely competitive pricing, and is backed by the Flood Brothers family name. Call Flood Brothers today. There's no charge other than a phone call to get a free quote. Call 773-626-5800 or go online to floodbrothersdisposal.com. When your name is on the trucks, you work harder to satisfy every customer. Call 773-626-5800. Flood Brothers Disposal and Recycling Service. Your garbage and recycling waste is their bread and butter.
There's only one Irish pub on the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClure Court. We spend a lot of time there taping the Skinny and Hooli show at Lizzie's almost every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 7 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine and a cafe menu of salad, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's, you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river. Tell them you were sent by Skinny and Hooli.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. Skinny and Hooli Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
Oh, sweet Listowel, I've loved you all my days. Your towering spires and shining streets and squares, where sings the field its everlasting lays and whispers to you in its evening prayers. Of all fair towns, none has so sweet a soul. Our gentle folk, compassionate and true, where'er I go, I love you, sweet Listowel, and off my distant cap each day to you. Down by the field, the willows dip their wands from magic boughs where soft the night wind sighs. How oft I've roamed along your moonlight banks, where late love blooms and first love never dies. Of all fair towns, none has so sweet a soul. Our gentle folk, compassionate and true. Where'er I go, I love you, sweet Listowel, and off my distant cap each day to you. And so, dear streets, I bid farewell to you, as fate ordains for me a far-off role. Dear friends and neighbors, here's my fond adieu, until we meet once more in sweet Listowel. Of all fair towns, none has so sweet a soul. Our gentle folk, compassionate and true. Where'er I go, I love you, sweet Listowel, and off my distant cap each day to you.
Played that particularly for, I mean, I talked to PJ and Mary O'D today. Yeah. They said, you have to play a song from Carrie for this Carrie woman, Ellen Foran, or some
so
people
that
say
was for
Foran.
Ellen Foran.
That was for Ellen Foran, a longtime listener to the show. So, Ellen, there you go.
Ellen, and I hope you're doing well.
There you go. Jimmy, we got Jimmy Callahan from the Guinness Brewery there. Our pal in Listowel, of course, is Jimmy Dinahan was from Listowel.
Jimmy, yeah, exactly. John B. Keane is from Listowel.
We were at John B. Keane's pub just 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
So that's a great. So thank you for requesting that, PJ and Mary, and that was for you, Ellen. I hope you enjoyed it. Now, we're back on the Skinny Hooli Show with Jimmy Callahan, who is the Guinness brand ambassador. He has a he's a cornucopia of incredible stories about Guinness and facts and it's just
I've
great
learned
stuff.
More about Guinness in the last half hour than I did in my whole life.
All right, I'm going to shove as much as I can in your head then. real quick, I do want to go back to one of your questions about you know, Guinness. Oh, Guinness is better than Ireland. That's what I hear all the time. So there, all beer foam, and this is all you need to know about dispelling that myth. All beer foam is very bitter, so it doesn't matter if you got foam. A lager, you know, the foam, the head in the beer. Lager, ale, Guinness draft. Now, we want a specific head size for the beer to make the beer taste the way that we intended it.
Right.
So if the foam is too high, the whole beer will be too bitter.
No,
if the foam is too shallow, the whole beer will be too sweet. And if you don't pour the beer at the correct temperature, the right pressure, and the correct glassware, clean glassware, and do the two-part pour, it's impossible to create that head size that we
and
want.
And the two-part pour is Guinness is the only beer that you have to do that with, right? That I know of.
It's a ritual that started with pulling from the cask engine, but we established the
it
head.
It takes a little bit longer.
It takes a little bit longer, but good things come to those who wait,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So what I will say is that you can get a perfect pint of Guinness in a multitude of bars all around Chicago, including Lizzie McNeil's here tonight.
Yes.
Thank you, John.
All right.
Born here tonight.
McNeil's, yeah.
Yes.
John DePrima.
But if you're going to a place that just serving in a shaker pint, they don't care about it. They're just doing it all in one pour. It's not going to taste right because it's not going to have the correct head size. So
yes.
that's the number one thing. So people think that you can't get good Guinness in the United States or that it's somehow different. It's just that when you are in Ireland, there's that Disneyland effect, that experiential effect of, we're in this quaint Irish pub. Yeah. There's a session going on. This guy with a beautiful brogue just poured me a perfect pint of Guinness and Jesus. It's the best thing I've ever had in my life, right? Well, yeah, because you're on freaking vacation. Okay,
right.
Everything tastes better when you're on vacation.
Sure.
So you can get, it's exactly the same beer. It's brewed in Dublin. But we do brew this beer around the world, too, as I was telling the guys off air. We brew it in New Zealand. We brew it in Australia. We brew it in Malaysia. It doesn't have to come from Dublin. Ours does.
Yeah.
But there's nothing magical about it. It's not like it's brewed by leprechauns or something. It's just brewed by people. And we brew different beer in 50 different countries around the world. So.
And you said you're opening a new brewery in Baltimore?
Correct. So we have brewed beer in the United States before, but what's called contract brewing, which means that we basically pay someone to brew it for us.
Right.
So in the 1950s, we actually brewed a lager in in Detroit. It didn't really take very long. We actually brewed extra stout in Long Island City in New York in the 50s, for a little bit, for like 5 or 6 years. But Prohibition kind of messed everything up, you know, because we were sending Guinness from 1817 all the way up to Prohibition. Some of these beers I'm going to have you taste here are export stouts. And Prohibition kind of messed everything up because we lost two generations of beer drinkers, and then the only beers that survived were those lagers. And so people were afraid of dark beer, and it took us a long time to get back into the fold. So all that being said, we opened up our first purpose-built Guinness brewery in the United States just outside of Baltimore. Opened up this past August. I've been there twice already. It's phenomenal. So if
do they have a tour there like they do in Dublin?
They do. It's not as big of a facility. It's not exactly the Guinness Museum that.
Right. But it's a big facility, right?
It's So we've got three different brewing systems there. We've got tap rooms. We have a restaurant there. We've got the gift shop. It's basically like the Guinness Brewery and the Irish hospitality that you come to expect in Dublin meets a American microbrewery. So these are all new beers brewed for the United States. You know, they've got different lagers, IPAs, ales, different barrel-aged stouts, because again, we're part of Diageo. We have access to some of the best spirits barrels in the world. So the last time I checked, they'd already brewed over 20 different styles of beer from starting earlier this year. It's a lot of fun, cool, interesting beers there. Some stuff that you would not expect from Guinness. It's not all dark. And so if you can't, you don't want to book, pony up the money to take a trip to Dublin, you might be able to take a trip out to Baltimore.
It's Baltimore.
And, and see us there. So I encourage you guys to check that out.
Now, is
That's
there...
That's great.
When I'm drinking beer, I'll stick with the same beer all night, Guinness.
Uh-huh.
And I see these guys who come in, the craft beer guys, and they switch it up. And that doesn't make sense to me. Tell me, am I a Philistine for doing that or what?
No. I think more than anything, it's a generational thing.
Yeah. I know. I'm an old guy.
You're just.
He's old.
You're just born before me. I think that there's a certain sense of brand loyalty that doesn't necessarily exist in like the millennial culture. You want to try something new. It's exciting. It's right now there's over 6,000 breweries in the United States, by far more than any in our history. There's beer everywhere. You go to Binny's, you walk down the beer aisle in Binny's.
Sure.
Yeah.
Holy crap. I mean, I can't keep track of it. You
right.
Know? So I think it's just more, there's a sense of fun, a sense of excitement, from people like trying different stuff. I think it's kind of like going to a buffet. You know, sometimes you just want the same meal, or you want to stick with the certain food. And sometimes you go to a buffet in Vegas, you're like, oh well,
I'll try this.
I'll have a cheesecake, I'll have some crab legs, and a burger and some sushi. You know, just like trying different stuff. So, I mean, I like to drink with the rhythm of the seasons. You know, there's certain.
Oh, that's
beers.
A great line. I like to drink with the rhythm of the seasons.
Well, there's certain beers that are just really refreshing and. And perfect for hot weather. There's certain beers that, sure. I mean, you're not going to drink a shandy in, when it's 20 degrees below zero or whatever. And conversely, I don't want to drink some 15% barrel-aged stout when it's 90 degrees out.
What about this Guinness Blonde?
Guinness Blonde has been around for 3 years now. So this is our first collaboration with an American brewery. We actually we brewed it in partnership with City Brewery in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. So it's been brewed in Latrobe.
Is that where Rolling Rock was made?
Correct, yeah. So we had a relationship with them.
That's good beer, Rolling Rock.
Arnold Palmer was from.
They were basically contract brewing it for us. The idea is that it's our version of an American lager. We're using all American ingredients, and then the same Guinness yeast that we have in our stouts we're using in our blonde. And the reason why that's significant is that the yeast strain that you use can be responsible for up to 60% of the flavor of the beer. So there's a lot of through lines, believe it or not, between Guinness Draft and Guinness Blonde. Now that we open up our own brewery, now we pull production of that beer and any beers that we're brewing in the United States are brewed in our facility there in Baltimore. So
the Blonde is made.
How is the brewery doing?
It's phenomenal. We've already, in the first month alone, we had 50,000 people come in and check us out. The reviews have been phenomenal. Blonde's actually outselling Guinness Draft at the brewery.
Holy cow.
So the brewers that we've hired are phenomenal. Got a couple people from Stone Brewery out in San Diego. Got this guy from Jolly Pumpkin, which is very big in their barrel aged and sour beers from Michigan. We have a lot of talent assembled, and so they're brewing some amazing stuff. And they actually now have tweaked the recipe to Blonde to suit their standards more so, and it's phenomenal. Not that the other beer is great too, but so now you will be getting the updated version of Blonde in Chicago in the next few weeks. So.
Can't wait.
Wow.
Can't wait, right.
Hey, we're talking Guinness beer with Jimmy Callahan. He's the Guinness brand ambassador. We got to take another break, though. We're going to be right back after these messages from our friends.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's in law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Jury's $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years, and they're raising their five kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who will be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
I'm Brendan O'Brien. Back in June of 1976, a guy opened a saloon on the south side called Riley's Daughter. That guy is my dad, Boz O'Brien. Millions of pints have been poured since then. Our family has quenched the thirst of the south side for over 41 years. The storied history of Riley's Daughter is familiar to generations of friends who've told me their tales of nights they'll never forget at Riley's. Maybe they met their future wife or hubby at Riley's, or maybe they were there for many of our White Sox, Bears, or Notre Dame trips. Or maybe their grandmother once bribed the judges in our Irish soda bread contest. We'll never tell. My family has been proud to be part of that over the years. One thing my dad has taught me is that you can't have too many friends. The legacy of Riley's Daughter has been the people we've been lucky enough to meet who stop by and share their good times with us. Today we're back in the South Side, right where we started, at 4010 West 111th Street in Oak Lawn. As Yogi Berra said, it's deja vu all over again. We actually closed the deal on our return the day Yogi died. God rest his soul. 2 years later, we haven't missed a step. If Yogi were alive, we'd tell him. Pull up a stool at Riley's Daughter and make yourself at home. If it's good booze and a friendly chat you're looking for, please stop by and say hello to my dad, Boz, my brother, Danny, or me, Brendan O'Brien. If you don't bring a story, we'll make sure you leave here with one. And if you mention the Skinny and Hooley show, we'll make sure to put an extra ice cube in that drink of yours. Hope to see you back at Riley's Daughter in Oak Lawn on 111th Street.
Thank you, Brendan O'Brien. Hey, we're here on the Skinny and Hooley Show. We're talking to Jimmy Callahan, the Guinness brand ambassador. What I wanted to ask you, Skinny, is, you know, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue and I look in the window of Ken's or Wrong's or Hart's or any of those great saloons, I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist, and he says to me, hey, Hooley, who died?
Hooley, we got this from PJ. I know Tom Collins. Thomas Collins of Algonquin passed away on October 29th. He grew up in Gary, Indiana, went to Holy Angels Grammar School and Horace Mann High School and Indiana University. A great sense of humor, loved life. He had an impact on everybody he met. Worked in JCPenney, but worked in a bunch of stores. But then he changed careers and became a deputy at the Cook County Sheriff's Office. He worked for my brother Mike, when Mike was the sheriff. He rose to the rank of lieutenant. He was a proud member of the Emerald Society of Chicago and was a third-degree member of the Knights of Columbus. But his proudest accomplishment was being the father of Sean Patrick Collins.
God bless him.
And he had two grandsons, Orion Collins and Killian Collins. And he was buried in Palatine after being waked at Smith Corcoran, St. Teresa's, I think it was, up on in Palatine on Benton Street. So say a prayer for Tom Collins.
God rest his soul, Tom Collins. All right, that was the only one we had, so we'll close up the crypt.
Thanks, PJ.
And we'll take it back with Jimmy Callahan. We're talking beer. Oh, man, this guy's fat. You really are a Cicerone.
I didn't lie.
Yeah.
I had to study hard for that crap.
Yeah, I mean, this you guy, could, you even could, during the breaks, he's talking about beer.
He could do the tour over there
in
Guinness.
Yeah.
My counterparts there, we have basically the same job. So we all go around and educate people about Guinness. So not too bad.
They must sell an enormous amount of Guinness. The regular dark beer, the whatever you, in a year.
The pint of stout. Yeah, so in a day, over 10 million pints of Guinness are poured
Holy
around the world.
Cow.
On St. Patrick's Day, it's 17 million.
Now, what is this
Holy
one that you
cow.
Just poured me, Jimmy?
Yeah. What is this okay, one? So the first beer that you guys had was Guinness Extra Stout. That's the beer that made Guinness what it is in Ireland. Now, the beer that I just poured the guys is what's called our Guinness 200th anniversary. So Guinness first exported beer to the United States October 16th, 1817. So this past October, we were celebrating our 200th year of being in the United States. And if I remember our history class, Illinois became a state in 1818. So Guinness has been part of the United States for longer than Illinois has, if you want to look at it that way. So this beer is an example of one of our early export stouts. And what I mean by that is this is before refrigeration. This is before pasteurization. And so how do you keep the beer fresh when you're shipping it across the Atlantic? The answer lies in hops and alcohol, because both hops and alcohol act as natural preservatives for the beer. So you have a higher alcohol content, higher hop beer, and it's a bigger, bolder stout, our export stout. And the 200th anniversary, we went back into the archives and actually identified the recipe we would have sent in 1817 and recreated it.
You found this in the archive, the recipe.
Evelyn Colgan, she's a wonder. She's a complete gem. She's a legend of Guinness. And so this is available just seasonally. You can get it in six packs. You can get it, at Binny's and your larger purveyors of beer. And it's phenomenal.
What's it called?
It's called the 200th anniversary. It's a red, white, and blue label beer there. Guinness, so.
Yeah.
And then so eventually, if Extra Stout is the beer that made Guinness what it is in Ireland, Foreign Extra Stout is what made Guinness the biggest brewery in the world at one point.
Foreign Extra Stout.
Yeah, so not a lot of people know about this beer because, as I explained before, Prohibition kind of messed it up for us.
Right.
Because
sure.
Everyone's so used to lagers. So Foreign Extra Stout is what we would have sent to the United States until Prohibition, and then it didn't make a resurgence again in the United States till 2010. But this is the beer that
2010.
This is the beer that we sell the most of worldwide. This is the beer that most people drink around the world as our Foreign Extra Stout. So this
more
is
more than the draft Guinness World.
More than draft. Yeah, this is 7.5%, 65 IBUs, which means it's like high
IBUs?
Bitterness. But
what's an IBU?
IBUs is international bittering units. So it's
bittering units.
It's a suggestion of how much bitterness you could perceive in the beer. But you're not going to perceive that bitterness because it's so well-balanced. This is my favorite beer we brew. It is the most popular beer in it's what they drink in Africa. It's what they drink in South America, in the Caribbean, in Asia. You're going to get a lot of like red wine notes, some dark fruit, some butterscotch in the nose. It's a complex, beautiful beer. And if you've not tried it, I encourage you to go out to your local store.
We're going to drink that during our final break, and then we'll be right back with more from Jimmy Callahan on the Skinny
I love this. We just keep drinking the whole time we're here, Holy.
Yeah. I bring gifts, guys.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started 80 years ago by their grandfather. Today, 15 members of the family still work together. And as in their grandfather's day, they're service-oriented and believe that the only way to do something is the right way. Flood Brothers are price competitive, so you can count on them to exceed your expectations. So contact Flood Brothers for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. And remember, their motto, your rubbish is our bread and butter. So call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Home are third generation family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. Robert J. Sheehy and Son Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this is one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind, was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of success is evident 98 years later as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. The name Sheehy on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family, and you know, you never forget something like that. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike Orico, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff, take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves in offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
We're back with Jimmy Callahan, the brand ambassador for Guinness. He's telling us everything you ever wanted to know about
I got a question about here locally.
Good answer.
Which bars or which places sell the most Guinness?
Legally, I don't know if I can say that.
Is it a hotel downtown?
I'll just start naming bars that
really do well.
Yeah, and you know we love all of our partners all around Chicago and all around the
Ryder's Daughter's got to be one of them.
But on the south side you got. You have like Clancy's, you got Barney Callahan's, you've got Riley's Daughter, you got Corn Carey, you know, all those bars on Western. You know, you got bars out in Orland Park. You know, all the Vaughn Group, which
has Vaughn's, they've been on our show many times.
Obviously the Fido's, the Carrymans of the world, this bar right here, we're in
Liz
McNeely's, Kitty O'Shea's. I mean, O'Shaughnessy's up in the Ravenswood, Lady Gregory's. I mean, the thing about Chicago is that I feel very spoiled and blessed because you go to some other cities and there's one or two bars that have a good pint of Guinness. There's no shortage of places. I could go on. There's probably there's only one. Billy said there's only one. Hey, everyone has their favorites. But that being said, there's so many different bars and I'd be remiss. I'm remiss not to name them all.
How does somebody get all this information online? Is there a place you can go online for more information?
About Guinness?
Yeah.
The Guinness website's great for historical information. You can get recipes for food recipes.
Oh, yeah.
There's a great book called...
The Guinness Book of World Records.
that was part of Guinness for a long time. It was created by a man named Hugh Beaver. We won't get into that. But yeah, the 250 years of Search of the Great Pint. Bill Yen, Yenne. It's a great book.
Jimmy, thank you so much for joining us. Come back.
Hey, I'll come back anytime.
You gotta come back.
You can try the if I leave you guys with one note, it's that Guinness is not just one beer. We make different beers for all different people around the world. Smittix, Harp, Guinness Blonde. Go out, try them if you haven't, and enjoy responsibly. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
See you later.
See you later. Bye.
Tune in next time for the Skinny and Hooli Show.
The Skinny and Hooli Show is recorded in front of a live audience.